Om Shanti. So special welcome to all of you and welcome to all our online viewers and welcome to our sister Gopi. She is the most delightful Brahma Kumari that many of us have had the fortune of knowing for many years. She lived in many parts of the world, including a short stint in the Caribbean from where I am. But we were too small for her. So she eventually moved to Madhuban. And she has been serving here in many and multiple departments. And we are very so happy that she agreed to come today. Sister Gopi, thank you so much for coming. And I'm sure everyone will have a great time. Om Shanti, welcome.
Om Shanti. Is everybody okay? Yes? Okay. Good. Good. So this afternoon's topic, experiencing the deity and worthy of worship form. Now, I probably take a guess that some of you may have some questions related to this topic. Who has any questions related to this topic? Raise your hand. No questions? So you're all quite clear about your deity stage and your complete stage and your worthy of worship form. Yes? Okay, there's one person raising their hand. Another one, so the hands are slowly going up. Okay, I'm going to invite you to come to the front and we're just going to field all the questions before the start of this session. Okay, I'm not going to answer them, but we're just going to take all the questions. Come.
The question is, I would like to be able to feel the difference in the stages. How does it feel inside? It's not a technical question, but it's an experience.
Okay.
Difference in experience.
Okay.
Om Shanti, everyone. Baba always tells us to make effort. And according to the effort we make, we are number one or number wise. I would really appreciate if you give us more clarification on this.
Okay.
Om Shanti.
You know, I remember many years ago, I was traveling, I think, somewhere in the Philippines. And there was a brother. I was at a center, and the topic was the complete stage. And the brother started to interview me by saying, "Oh, sister, I feel like my complete stage is very far away." And I remember listening to him, and it struck me, and I thought, don't think like that. Because even having that thought makes it feel far away. It's a little bit like knowing that your destination is just here. But you know how when there's a traffic jam, even a destination that's 30 seconds away can take 20 minutes. Half an hour, because you're stuck in a traffic jam. And so, for me, the first place to begin is about proximity. This stage is not far away, it's a switch away. And I guess when we fall into the mindset of rational thought processes, analytical thought processes, we then put a lot of thoughts and questions in between what is something that is a very deep part of who we already are. I remember one time, I don't know where it was, but Daddy Jenki was giving drishti to a small group of us. And when her drishti landed on me, I literally felt as if she was pulling the deity out of me. And I thought, wouldn't it be so beautiful for us to have that kind of vision for each other, where our drishti literally pulls out the deity in another. Now, experiencing these stages is less about a visualization process, which can sometimes be an artificial exercise, but it's more about being honest with the self and making an assessment of my capacity, because it is a very elevated stage that is powered by very pure energy. And for me as a person, being able to make an assessment, and not even an assessment analytically, but reflection on, well, to what extent have I built that capacity to be powered by pure energy? Because there's a difference between worthy of praise and worthy of worship. Yes, we use different words, the deity form, the worthy of worship form. They're actually one and the same, but with a different shade. And I'll go into that a little bit more. But the moment we recognize Baba, I'm a child of the Supreme, and I experience the fortune of belonging to God, I automatically become worthy of praise, because the sustenance that God gives me makes me worthy of praise. But to be worthy of worship is a different level, because that requires four things, an effort of four things in all four subjects, Gyan, Yoga, Dharana, Seva. And the effort it requires is purity, cleanliness, truthfulness, and honesty. This is the game in Sangam Yoga. And so the resonance we create and the experience that we have of each form depends on how much purity, truthfulness, honesty, cleanliness I have developed in my Brahmin life. You know, in Bharat, there is single worship, double worship. So when we as Brahmin souls have recognized Baba, and we feel ourselves to be fortunate, that's one form we get worshipped as saligrams, souls that belong to the Supreme. But to be double worshipped means I have to create a memorial of love in someone's heart. That's double worship. Dadiji would often ask this question of the Kumaris who were about to get surrendered and go and live in centers. She would always say, give three things. Always say Haji. Never be part of a golden group, a group that gossips. And third, always remember, what kind of memorial am I leaving behind wherever I go? And the funny thing is the devotees will only accept you with love when you have accepted Baba with love. Because the game of becoming worthy of worship starts from Baba. Baba is the creator and the artist. my connection with Him, the sustenance I draw from Baba, the attainment I draw from Baba, is starting to emerge the beauty inside the soul. And so it's so important in Brahmin life to remain aware of the attainments from Baba. When we don't keep in sight those attainments of Baba, the kaleidoscope of our complete stage isn't clear to us, because it gets mixed in with attainments from the old world, the old life, the old way of living. And, you know, just the other day I was sitting and having Brahma Bhojan, and I had this deep feeling that Shiv Baba is feeding me. And I thought, look at this. Somebody prepared Brahma Bhojan in Shiv Baba's remembrance. Somebody served that Bhojan in Shiv Baba's remembrance. And as I sit here and accept Bhojan in that remembrance, I feel like I'm being sustained directly by the Nirakar Baba, incorporeal Baba. And that direct experience of sustenance is what we call attainment. So I want to just pause here for a moment. I hope everybody has their notebook and pens. Does everybody have notebook and pen? So I want you to take a few minutes now, and I'd like you to zero in, focus in on the attainments, maybe three or four main attainments you've received in Brahmin life from Baba. Okay? And we're going to do something with that in the next step. So just take a couple of minutes now. Open your heart and observe your Brahmin life, and just capture some of the core attainments you've received from Baba. And yes, sometimes you can say knowledge, but then what aspect of the knowledge? Try and be as specific as you can. Okay, now, out of the attainments you've written, I'd like you to take a blank piece of paper in your notebook and write out a blessing based on those attainments. So the blessing should begin with, you are a soul who... dot, dot, dot. Okay, so take a blank piece of paper and capture those attainments in the form of a blessing. So write it clearly. Nice big letters. Okay? Everybody got a blessing? So tear it out of your notebook and show me. Take it out of your notebook and wave it at me so I know you've all got one. You've got one on your phone. I need it on paper. Right. Somebody loan Ella some paper. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is I'd like you to gift this to a next door neighbor. They might be in front of you, they might be next to you, and I'd like you to turn round and gift them this blessing and share the blessing with them. So you're exchanging blessings. So if you're same language, you have to do it in the same language. So brothers here, you're going to have to make some effort to reach out to the nearest person next to you and exchange your blessing. Okay? Everybody should have a different blessing in their hands. Yes? Can you raise your hands? Because it's not going to work if you don't. Right. Okay, hands up everybody who has a new blessing. Okay, so the language groups there. If you haven't exchanged your blessings, please exchange them. And here. Is this Polish, this group here? Okay. So if you're in a language group, just share with each other. Exchange the blessing. So you should have somebody else's blessing. Somebody has your blessing. Okay. Now, those of you who have a blessing in your hand, I want you to take a moment and read this blessing for yourself in silence. According to the drama, this gift arrived in your hands. So I have a question for you. How is this blessing relevant for you in your life right now? So just reflect on this question. Reading this blessing, how is this relevant for you in your life right now? So the blessing has a significance and a message for you. What's that message? Okay, now can I just ask you to stand up if you can? Yeah, just stand up. Keep your headphones on, those who have translation, if possible. And I would like you to find somebody, not the person who gave you the blessing, not that person, somebody else. I'd like you to just find somebody near you and just share what blessing you got and how you feel it's significant for you right now in your Brahmin life. So if you're in the same language group, you'll have to stay amongst each other, but find a different person. Okay, stop. Wherever you are, just stay standing for a moment. And I'd like you to just become the embodiment of that blessing in silence. Step into the space of being that blessing. Allow the feeling of that blessing to permeate through your very being. And now, in that awareness with Drishti, I'd like you to exchange that blessing with your partner. So you should have a new blessing in your hand. Exchange. Okay, now you can sit down. And if you could describe this blessing as an image, a metaphor, what would that be? What visual or image or metaphor would you use to describe this blessing? And I'd like you to take 1 minute and draw it in your notebooks. We're going to be doing a lot of art in the Golden Age, so we're going to practice from now. So look at the blessing. What image comes to mind as you read this blessing? Draw. We're not going to publish it on the front page of the daily newspaper. You can describe the image if you can't draw it. Take a shot. Okay, everybody has an image? Yes? Okay, 1/2 minute silence, and let yourself be an embodiment of this blessing in your hand. Now, in the awareness of this blessing, I'd like you to stand up and exchange it for the last time with a completely different person. So you'll need to stand up, find somebody else, and exchange it with them with drishti. Okay, and once you've done that, go and sit down. Preferably not, because you're exchanging blessings, but it's okay. It's fine. Okay. Okay. So everybody should have a new blessing, is that correct? Yes? Yes? New blessing? Yes? I'm not seeing any hands raising. Everybody has a new blessing? Okay, brothers, you have a new blessing? Thank you. Okay, last question. With this new blessing that you have in your hand, if you were to do one thing to make it practical in your life, what would that one thing be? So read this blessing, and the question for you to reflect, and you can write in your notebooks. If you were to bring this blessing into your practical life, then what one thing would you practically start to do? So if you were to bring this blessing into your life, what one thing would you practically start to do? Okay. Okay, now I'd like you to talk out loud, pretend that it's only me and you in the room, and I'd just like you to talk out loud in your own language what one thing that you would do practically to make this blessing practical in your life. Okay, so everybody will be talking at once, it's not a problem, but just talk it out loud to me. I'm listening. Go. Okay. Thank you. That sounded quite pleasant. Okay, let's just do a mind check. How do you feel inside? Happy. Who feels happy? Raise your hand. Happy. How else do you feel inside? Light. Who feels light? Raise your hand. Okay. What else do you feel inside? Gratitude. I can't translate Russian, so I don't. Sorry? Might. Power. Power. Okay. Who feels power? Raise your hand. Okay. Anyone else? Any other words? Moved. Who feels moved inside? Okay. Somebody said contentment. Who feels contented inside? Okay. Okay. Excited. Who feels excited inside? Stimulated, I think, maybe is the right word. Okay. So, who feels fortunate? Fortune inside. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. This was a very planned activity, not random. But you can see that in the space of about 15 minutes, we just elevated a vibration in the room. And what you started to experience is the life of a deity soul, right? Which is lightness. Which is joy, which is contentment, which is happiness. And it happened because you worked out here. There were components in this activity that supported upliftment. Of course, we asked you to reflect on your attainments from Baba. Everything started with that seed. You turned it into a blessing. You shared that blessing. You made meaning out of that blessing. You used the faculty of your intellect on that blessing. You visualized that blessing. You let your mind become absorbed in that blessing. And then you activated your sanskars on that blessing. You spoke out, made a commitment to what you were going to do to make that blessing practical. So one of the first steps, and this is a foundational step in Brahmin life, that we can sometimes not give enough time to, that the deity stage is already fixed. But to unlock the deity stage, I need to become a self-sovereign. I need to become a master of my senses, especially my subtle senses, my mind, my intellect, and my samskaras. And when Baba comes, and we're like in Brahmin life, we've come, this is the 83rd body with its karmic accounts, nature, etc. And then we recognize Baba. And in that love, we're reborn again. Because the 84th birth is a subtle birth. And it's a birth of what we receive from Baba, knowledge, power, virtues, and every thought that Baba gives us that starts to create a culture of non-violence, a culture of elevated exchange with each other. And so the more I remember Baba, because everything is in Baba, the blueprint for the new world, the vision of my complete stage is in Baba. The more I sincerely and lovingly from the heart remember Baba, I open that subtle dimension up for me. I live my 84th birth with royalty, with joy, with blessings, feeling blessed, feeling light, feeling sustained. This is the line of how things begin. Now, it's very interesting. It was perhaps in the 80s, and I looked this Murli up today because I wanted to be very clear on what Baba had said, that this whole journey of becoming a deity, of course, starts with accepting myself as a Brahmin and the effort that a Brahmin has to make. Right? This is the age for becoming pure. Now, purity in Sangam Yug doesn't necessarily mean perfection. But purity in Sangam Yug means cleanliness, means honesty, means being the same inside and out. It means authenticity. And as I've journeyed with purity in my Brahmin life, I really feel myself becoming cleaner and closer to Baba. And the more the power of purity increases inside, the more silence increases very naturally. Because as part of becoming pure, before we can become merciful, which is one of the key traits if you want to become a deity that's worthy of worship, before becoming merciful, it's really important to first of all understand yourself. Self-understanding, where you're able to go beyond the sounds of many different feelings in the heart. You know, sometimes we think a lot about things, but in those thoughts, is filled with the sound of fear, the sound of doubt, the sound of criticism, the sound of jealousy. And silence, in silence, when we start to understand ourselves, we're literally going beyond the sounds of those different feelings to reach the feeling of who am I? As a soul that belongs to Baba first. So one of the first aspects is using the power of silence to neutralize all other sounds in my being. And why I say sound, because it's a vibration that's infused in our thought processes. And it's constantly going on. And when that's constantly going on, you cannot understand yourself. And if you cannot understand yourself, then you can't become somebody that has unlimited mercy. You might have mercy for one or two people, But altruistic mercy is an attitude. It's an unlimited attitude of benevolence, of wanting to make someone unhappy smile again, wanting to uplift, wanting to help someone move forward. I remember many years ago when I was leaving Madhuban and I was taking leave from Daddy. Daddy said to me, make your complete stage your best friend. And I really appreciated that statement, because it helped me to start to build a relationship with that part of myself. And when you keep someone as a friend, there has to be an alignment, right? You're not going to do something that your friend doesn't like. And even if you're going to do something, you're going to take your friend with you. You're not going to do it alone. You're not going to hide, do something behind your friend's back. So there's so many dharanas of purity that naturally develop when we start to accept our perfection as a friend. That part of us that's completely pure, soft, non-violent, completely viceless, 16 celestial degrees full of all virtues, that being is my best friend. Sometimes I get asked the question, sister, what's 16 celestial degrees? Can you give us a list? And Baba uses, that terminology is used in bhakti, but Baba's often described it as the significance of an action or a speciality that's complete. You know how people often go to theatre shows to watch artists perform, especially when artists have peaked in their talent. They go to watch a show. So it's the same. The deity is an accomplished artist, accomplished in the way of speaking, accomplished in the way of seeing, accomplished in every virtue. So let's take a moment now and step down from Paramdham into that deity form.
योग लगा कर पाप मिटा ले स्वर्ग सजा ले तू आज काम क्रोध मद लोभ मोह वश आज है सब मोहताज योग लगा कर पाप मिटा ले स्वर्ग सजा ले तू आज निकलना है चलना है घर वापस अब तो यही ज्ञान का सार
योगी बनो ज्ञानी बनो योगी जीवन है प्यारा योगी जीवन है प्यारा योगी जीवन है प्यारा
So often for myself, I describe this as a perfect act of love. You know, the deities are often worshipped whilst they're being bathed, whilst they're sleeping, whilst they're eating, and all of that is a memorial of our perfect acts of love done in Baba's remembrance now. It's when what I feel, what I think and what I do is one. That's what creates an accomplishment, a talent, a speciality. And then eventually, as I add up, I accumulate and become 16 celestial degrees full. Even Baba Brahma Baba's art, you know, it's an art form. Even Brahma Baba's sleeping was an art. Baba would sometimes go around at night and check and look at the children. How are they sleeping? Because it's a very subtle preparation to become pure. It's not gross. Everything is subtle preparation. It's the preparation of intention, of feeling, of attitude, of vision. And you will have experienced that normally, in your day-to-day life, as you're walking around, you look at each other with an ordinary vision, right? But the moment you start to be aware of your attainments, and you experience them as a blessing, and then you look at someone, it's a completely different drishti. That's why the Brahmin family is what I call finishing school. You know what finishing school is? It's when you get polished to become perfect. So this is a playground in which we can experiment with our divinity. We're literally experimenting with being one in ourselves and one with each other. So, you know, the deity form will emerge, it will work for you. But there has to be an exercise. The awareness of the power that you receive from Baba has to be held and exercised amongst us. That's why one of the first qualifications of a deity, especially love deity, is mercy. And today's Murali, Baba spoke a lot about mercy, real true mercy linked to knowledge and understanding. It's not false mercy that's pulled from the heartstrings of your attachment that wants to go and rescue somebody out of their karmic account. But real mercy is an altruistic feeling and merciful thoughts, right? So if somebody's done something wrong, what's a merciful thought? What's a merciful thought? Sorry? It's okay. Sorry? Forgive. What's a merciful thought at that time? Sorry? I can't hear that. You're learning, someone's learning. A merciful thought has nothing hard in it or judgmental in it. When someone's cultivating mercy, they let go of opinions. Imagine living with somebody for many years, but never formulating an opinion about them. That's what the deities, we did that for 2,500 years as deities. We lived with each other, but we didn't form any opinions about each other. So the capacity of mercy in our thoughts and in our feelings means that my eye is always on protecting the dignity of another and seeking to uplift. Right? Not to rescue or save, which is different, which is often ego-based, but seeking to uplift. And you know, merciful souls, people will feel themselves, they'll feel a part of themselves, a true part of themselves. They'll feel understood by someone who has mercy. You know, they'll feel at peace in their company. And most of all, they will not feel judged. Because judgment is the biggest barrier to mercy. Receiving Baba's mercy for us and sharing mercy, being merciful in our relationship with others. So this is a practice. It means stop all opinions. Who cares about your opinions anyway? Right? The second, which is mercy and benevolence, are synonymous, right? They are the foundation of becoming a deity and a worthy of worship soul. Is that such a soul, because I, you know, living with the daddies, I remember Daddy Jenki making this statement one time in class, and she said, I have the aim to remove anyone's sorrow who comes in front of me. I thought, wow. And she kept that aim, and she qualified herself for that aim. Daddy, from the age of 59 or 60 till the age of 104, toured the globe, you know, I think 1.5 times, and met every kind of individual possible, from every kind of background and culture possible. Those who were accepting and those who were rejecting. And yet, you know, even those who rejected her, Daddy's reply would be, I'm going to kill you with my good wishes. So, you know, a soul that, who under all circumstances will never accept sorrow as a reality. If you are holding on to any sorrow now as a little comfort zone or a little pocket, then you will feel your deity form to be very distant. Because sorrow and deity don't go together. So whatever that magic key you need to adopt to remove someone's sorrow, it starts with a beautiful aim because it's such an underground thing. You know, it's not an obvious thing where you're ha ha he he making someone smile, but even sending a good wish somewhere. If someone's struggling with something, and you know, but just giving that extra time to send some sakash, Brahma Baba would do that when the children were sick. He would stay up at night and he would send sakash. That extra little help, that it's not obvious, and nobody needs to know that it's coming from you. Even if something happens, you distract someone, make them smile, make them dance, anything to make someone light and to help someone move on. Yeah, this is not rocket science, but it's a deep attitude of non-violence and of protecting the sacred dignity of every soul. And then, you know, such a soul, if I look at the daddies, and I'm scanning all the daddies because they're all in front of me up there. If you turn around and look behind you, you'll see all the main daddies and their photos up there. So they're all giving me nice drishti from up there. And if I see one thing common in all of them, it's simplicity. Very simple, but yet very elevated in their dharanas. You know, an elevated dharana is a dharana of non-violence. I remember Pardadi, Dadi Nirmal Shanta, Brahma Baba's daughter, and Rukmini Ben, it was her personal assistant. And we were sharing stories about the daddies with each other, and she shared a beautiful story about Bardadi. And she was sitting in the courtyard of Indraprastha in Pandapavan. And in those days, it didn't have the windows. And it was a Thursday, and Rukmini Ben had washed her hair, and she was combing in her hair. And of course, when you're combing your hair, some hair falls on the floor. And Daddy came in, and Daddy said, "Be careful. Look, pick up the hair from the floor, because there's lots of tiny sparrows flying around here. And if one of them gets, if their little feet get caught up in your hair, they won't be able to fly and they'll die." And you kind of think, wow, this soul, a soul that has non-violence to their core, that is so sensitive to the dignity of every soul and every animal and every thing and every particle, that even a piece of hair on the floor will damage. So when we say elevated, this is what I mean by elevated. It has a very deep refineness to it, where the attention to detail, not as a perfectionist, because you want something to look good, but because you want every soul to experience freedom and happiness. So you will go that extra mile. You will clean up after you. You will provide a space that will help another to experience that. And that's so deeply linked to our core purity, core personality of purity, right? Because purity is synonymous with non-violence. And then the other similarity I see, and the experience I've had personally with the daddies, is an unshakable and immovable stage. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter how many complaints are thrown at them. It doesn't matter how many disturbing situations come. Unshakable, immovable, in their faith in Baba. You know, sometimes because we're so trapped by the opinion of human society and of what others think of us, that we don't anchor in the faith that Baba has in us. And an idol in a temple is unshakable and immovable. It doesn't matter what kind of bhagat devotee comes in front of that idol. Whether they're crying, whether they're shouting, whether they're praising, whether they're complaining, the idol remains unshakable and immovable. So these are capacities that have to be exercised to eventually go from the fluctuation of this to the elevated stage of perfection. And you know, one of the common threads I've witnessed is that their thoughts and words are like blessings for others. Because there's so much pure feelings, they don't have anything anti in their heart for another soul. Because you can say today, okay, I can give good wishes to this soul, but not this soul. Why? because this soul said something to me. And you create a little bit of an anti-attitude, an anti-feeling towards that soul. It's like a drop of poison in your feelings. Do you think your good wishes for that soul is going to reach them? No. Because even if a glass of nectar has one drop of poison in it, it's all poison. I remember asking Sister Mahini last week, when we were having a discussion on Avyakti Parivar, that, you know, sometimes in our relationships, things go wrong. We maybe, you know, there's a conflict or a difference of opinion. Somebody said something, I felt upset. Or somebody's not speaking to us. So, what should we do? Should we try and reconcile through words? Should we try and talk it out? Explain my point of view, understand their point of view, analyze it? And she was saying, in essence, that no, before you do any of that, the first thing you have to do is clean your mind and intellect and your feelings towards that person. Words are a secondary step. But when you really clean your faculties, your mental attitude, your intellect, your drishti, and clean your feelings toward that person, then an opportunity will open up. If anything needs to be said, it can be said. And even if it's not said, because you've changed your feelings, you can talk about the weather and they'll still feel good vibrations from you. Because the past is the past, when you've cleaned your feelings. So, the work of being pure, clean, truthful, honest, that's the effort to be worthy of worship now. And that effort now gives you a place in everybody's heart with so much love. When people remember you, the light and incense stick of good wishes for you. And so, you know, we sometimes tend to be isolated in our efforts and in our lives, thinking, oh, who's seeing me? I'm just going to make my own effort. But your effort is deeply connected because it's creating a wave. Your effort is creating a vibration that is going to help another move forward. And so never feel that you're alone in your effort making. Oh, well, they're not doing it, so I can't do it. It begins just with one wave. And that's why they say, you know, the butterfly wing flaps its wing on one side of the planet, creates a tsunami on the other side. And that's how powerful the process of transformation is. And I think, lastly, one of the things that supports becoming merciful and benevolent is you need to have the courage to imbibe specialities. What we call in Hindi, a sattoguni buddhi. You know, it's amazing that Baba's drishti has fallen on each and every one of us. It didn't fall on your cousin or your uncle or your best friend. It fell on you. Do you think God made a mistake? So there's a speciality there. There's a God-given speciality there. And recognizing that speciality is very important in another and in yourself. And you need courage for that. Because you do have to sometimes see beyond the surface packaging. Sometimes someone's nature might not be perfect. Somebody may have an angry nature. Somebody may have a critical nature. So you need courage to see beyond that, to see what is it in this soul that drew Baba's drishti to them. You have to make this effort. Make a list of all the people you don't get on with. Right? Why don't you get on with them? Because you're holding on to something about them. Somebody else is getting on with them, but you're not getting on with them because you're holding on to something about them. So make a list and make the effort to look for that God-given speciality. Because that in itself is a speciality. And it's something I saw a lot in Daddy Jenki. Perfecting the art of seeing and recognizing speciality. Now, you know, Brahmin souls are special. Sakar Baba would often say this, that when you wake up in the morning, switch on this awareness that I am a special soul, a Brahmin soul. I am in Baba's Drishti. In one of my last conversations with Daddy Jenki, I asked her a very simple question. I said, Daddy, what are you seeing? And Daddy said, I see that everybody... Sorry, she started off by saying, in our day, we felt that we were something special. But now, as expansion has happened, everybody's just moving around in an ordinary way, in an ordinary consciousness, in ordinary interactions. And as a result of that ordinariness, there's wastage, there's familiarity. And so then you don't experience the elevated nature of Brahmin life. You don't feel that you are a Brahmin, going to be an angel, going to be a deity. So the switch on of that awareness that unlocks the part of an angel and a deity is waking up in the morning and feeling yourself to be a special Brahmin soul. It's so important. Surrender everything else to Baba. And just really wake up with your attainment and wake up with your fortune. And then the second aspect is using that speciality. You know, I remember many years ago in conversation with Jenti Ben, I said, how do specialities emerge? And she gave a very simple response. She said, say ha ji. Because sometimes you don't know what your speciality is. But when drama opens up opportunities in front of you, and you say yes, and you're open to learning, and accepting, and growing, then what is true and what is real inside you emerges. And that sense of speciality brings you closer to Baba, right? It makes your love, it transforms your love from being ordinary and general to being something very special and intimate with God. And that's when you can really start enjoying Sangam Yoga. So sometimes, you know, you have to kind of, using the speciality, it's like sowing a seed in the ground. You have to act in that consciousness. And so then, that speciality comes, brings fruit, a tree grows, but then you also have to be careful. Because what comes to eat the little sapling as it's growing? Birds, right? And it's the consciousness of I. Oh, I've done this. Oh, this is my speciality. So all of these things come to eat the fruit of what you've created. So at a very deep level, you know, it's very interesting. I asked you to... let me finish that sentence. At a very deep level, releasing ownership of everything is important. Nothing is mine. Nothing. Now what's really interesting is that when I asked all of you to stand up, this hall is full of chairs, empty chairs. Well, there's half full. But when I asked you to stand up and then talk and walk and move around, you did. And then when I asked you to sit down, where did you go? Where did you go? Exactly to that same chair. Three rows back or three chairs in, exactly to that same seat. Right? Because you've been sitting there for half an hour. So it's a comfort zone. Even though on either side of you there's empty seats. And then suddenly after a period of time, guess what happens? as we sit here longer and longer and longer. Then we get up and go to the bathroom, and then what do? We leave our bag on the seat, don't we? Right? That's my seat, right? You come back from your bathroom visit, and then you see that somebody else is sitting in that seat. And then what do you think? Who's sitting in my seat? Right, you've been sitting there for half an hour and it's suddenly your seat, is it? It's such a deep human habit to take ownership of something. We do it every day unconsciously because it's become a habit. Yeah. Because we are creatures of habit. And a deity, if you live by habit, you can never be abundant. A deity is abundant, giving devta. It's a flowing treasure store of so much. So, you know, I feel that these are some of the capacities we need to build and activate and exercise in our Brahmin life. And they are capacities deeply linked to purity, honesty, cleanliness and truthfulness. In knowledge, self-examination, in my connection with Baba, in my dharana. You know, to what extent have I imbibed all virtues? Have I sat and examined that? And then, of course, altruism in my service. Well, where it's not my service, but I'm present as Baba's helper, as an instrument on the field of service. And that's ultimately what makes a soul worthy of love, of being seated in someone's heart with love. And a deity soul will win hearts. That's their effort. Doesn't matter what happens, they will find a way to win someone's heart. And it's such a beautiful effort to make, is to win hearts. This is what the efforts the daddies made all day long. Yes, they gave gyan, but why did they give gyan? To win hearts. And you know, this is where, when I was telling you earlier, that, you know, to receive love and regard from the hearts of everyone at the confluence age means to begin the blueprint of your worthy of worship status from now. Right? And when I was sharing earlier that Baba had spoken a Murli, you know, in the 80s, on the different types of Brahmins, and I'm going to leave you with that, where he identified four different types of effort-making Brahmin. And then you can reflect on your own journey with that. One, those souls who move along in love, remembrance, and service according to the method, the right method, as yogi souls, and who imbibe all virtues. It's the first category of Brahmins. Right? They move along on the basis of love, remembrance, and service according to the right method. They're absorbed in love. Everything is an expression of divine love. The second category, they may not do everything according to the right method, but they do it as a discipline, a duty. So they're very disciplined in following the codes of conduct. They follow all the four subjects, but as a discipline, they feel they have to do it. So they will experience love sometimes, but not absorbed in love. And so they do get attainment because they're disciplined. But sometimes they find things easy, other times difficult. That's the second category. The third category, they observe all disciplines for the majority of the time, but not with their heart, but for show. They sit in remembrance with a motive for being well known for that. Their service is showy service. They want to earn a name in service. So they'll change their form according to the time. They may have a sharp head, a sharp intellect, but their heart will be empty. And the fourth variety, that they'll follow some of the disciplines, but they'll do it out of fear. Fear so that nobody says anything to them or sees them as a last number soul, or this one won't be able to continue. They have become Brahmins and they've renounced the Shudra life, but they want a bit of both. They taste the elevated nature of the Brahmin life, but they don't perhaps have the courage to follow the full way of the Brahmin life. And so they move forward on the basis of compulsion and fear. Now imagine all these different types of effort we make as Brahmins is creating a blueprint for how we are going to be worshipped. If you make effort out of compulsion, your devotees are also going to we have to go to the temple and worship this one. Right? Your devotees will also worship out of fear. So each one has to kind of look at their journey. We might oscillate from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. You can be all 4 in one day because it's a type of effort, right? And that's why for me, the journey to the complete stage and the journey to being a deity is so deeply connected with Baba and the consistency of love and remembrance. Consistency is a key word here. Not just sometimes, because anything that is sometimes can become corrupted. But anything that is constant and consistent cannot be corrupted. So as we are in Madhuban, Baba accepts every soul as they are. Baba's drishti has fallen on every one of us. And in the contract, all the inheritance, the virtues, the powers are in our name. But to what extent am I transforming my feelings and creating an environment where Baba's presence can be a constant presence in my life? Because that's up to me. Okay? So, it's just gone 6 o'clock. I don't think we have time for questions. But I hope that's been useful. Yes? Thank you very much. So let's have a few moments with Baba.